left off discussing the sugya of ribu b'shiurim in areas of Shabbos and Yantif and Bechol HaTorah Kula, and the Ran pointed out in the sugya in Beitza, Dapei Harif Tesim Beis, where the Ran tells us that there are three different sugyas that one somehow has to resolve. The sugya in Beitza Dap Yitzayin Amad Aleph that tells us regarding Olcho Nefesh and Yantif, that one is allowed l'chadchila to be marba b'shiurim. The sugya Menachos and Dap Samach Dalet, where the Ran points out that implies that when it comes to Pikoach Nefesh on Shabbos, Ribu B'Shirim is in fact in Issa Daraisa, because the Gemara raises the suffix which is preferable, to be Marba B'Shirim or to be Marba B'Malacha. Marba B'Malacha certainly the Ran assumes is forbidden in HaTorah, and the Gemara has a suffix which is Adiv. Apparently Marba B'Shirim also is in Issa Daraisa. And then the Gemara in Erev and Adav, Samaches Samad Aleph, where the Gemara tells us a story of a kata on the Yom Hamila, where Yishtapi Chamime, and the Eitza was Nachim Le Agav Ime. Simply see to it, if the mother is in a state of a Cholim Esukenes, if she will need water to be heated on her behalf, one can go ahead and do so in excess for the purpose of Bris Mila. That seems to be a case, again, similar to the Gemara Menachos Nav Samach Dalet, a case of Pikuach Nefesh, and ribui bishiurim. So in that instance, when is it mutter, when is it considered to be aser? So the Ran sheet, as we discussed, was the following. This is a function of Hutra versus Dechuya. This nafgamin is not mentioned explicitly in the Gemara at all, in differences between Hutra and Dechuya. The difference the Gemara mentions is simply whether Efshar or E-Efshar, Lekayim Shneihem. That's the Sugin Yuman Davav, Sanhedrin Daf Yabez. If something is Hutra, it is mutter, even if that clash was avoidable. If you hold something as dechuya, so the first tier is to try to see if you can resolve without dechiyas isurim. If it cannot be resolved, then you can argue that one is doch to the other. The Ran points out this other chiddush, and that is our sugi of mara b'shirin also will depend on whether something is hutra or dechuya. If it is hutra, then there's no problem mara b'shirin, and ochal nefesh an yantiv is hutra. When it comes to pikoach nefesh an Shabbos, that is considered to be dechuya, and therefore, if something is dechuya, only that which is keneged atzorach is mutter. Above and beyond that, that is forbidden. And the shita saran is that it's forbidden min haTorah. Good. Again, you can only obviously offer this teretz if you assume at the assumptions of the Ran that ochal nefesh an yantif is hutra, which itself is a machlokas rishonim. Pikoach nefesh an Shabbos is only dechuya, that itself is a machlokas rishonim. And the further assumption of the Ran that mar b'shiurin, when it is in fact aser, is an iser daraisa. And what do you do with that sugi in Erev and Adav Samaches? The Ran writes that that apparently is not fully relevant to our issue because of the Girsas Harif, and that is Nochim Le Nochre Agavime. That was all done Al Yedei Nochrim. So here we're dealing with an Isser of Amir L'Nochri. We're not talking about the real Isser Darais at all of Ribu B'Shiurim. And the Chiddush that Gemara is the following. One certainly is allowed to engage in Amir L'Nochri for the purpose of Pikuach Nefesh. Of course that's true. Even B'Makom Cholol Gozer B'Rabbanan. And if that's true, that extends to the case of Ribu B'Shiurim as well. We pointed out the difficulty Rabbi Kveger has that if you argue that Mar B'Shiurim is Nisa Daraisa, and if that's true that Amrila Nachri is not mutter b'makom mitzvah, if you're dealing with an issa daraisa, so how is it possible for the Ran to argue that when it comes to Amrila Nachri, one is allowed to be marba b'shiurim? Just put these two together, Rabbi Kveger writes, that no, that ribu b'shiurim is forbidden min haTorah, and Amrila Nachri is only mutter if something is a shvus d'shvus b'makom mitzvah. So in such a case, how does the Ran so simply argue that when it comes to this case of Amir L'Nachri, Ribu Yishrim is mutter? So he pointed out the Chiddush that Rosh Shlomo Zalman writes in the Pirush on Beitz and Daf Yud Zayin. The answer is the following. Just as the Ran said that there's a difference between Hutra and Dechuya, if something is Hutra, then there's no Isra of Ribu B'Shiurim. As long as it comes to Dechuya, so the fact that Amir L'Nachri is mutter b'makom chola, that's Dechuya. Dechuya means that the Isser is being kama omeid, but somehow push comes to shove, one must take precedence over another. That's true when it comes to chola, pashup shet, that's not the case at all. That's comparable to examples of hutra. That b'makam chola lo gozra be'evavanam, hey amru ve'hem amru. And in such a case, that would be comparable to an instance of meleches ochon efesh, where ribu b'shirm is in fact mutter l'chadchila. The Ran does acknowledge the following. If you assume, like the sheet of the halachas gedolos of the Bala Yitter, And that is that Amir Lanachri is mutter litzorech mitzvah, even if you're dealing with an issa daraisa. So therefore, how do you understand that sugya in Erev HaSamaches? If the water spilled and there's need to boil water, a malacha daraisa litzorech bris milah, the answer should be, according to the Bahag and Balich, that that's mutter. Amir Lanachri is mutter litzorech mitzvah. So if that's the case, how is it that the Gemara says the only possible heter is agav ime al yedei riba b'shirin? It should simply be mutter l'chatchila. The answer must be, the Ran points out, that according to halachos gedolos, according to the Baal Iter, we're not talking about amir l'nachri. We're talking about doing so al yedei Yisrael. If there was a nachri accessible, it's heter gamur. If it's al yedei Yisrael, now you're faced with a problem. So the answer is that even al yedei Yisrael, ribui b'shiurim is mutter b'makomila. So therefore, if it can be done with sarachola, now you kick in ribui b'shiurim. Right? How can that possibly be? Poshur pshat then, according to the halachos gedolos and according to the Baal Iter, ribui b'shiurim is only derabanan. If you would assume that ribui b'shiurim is in fact a din daraisa, so in such a case, how can it possibly be you're going to allow one to be marba b'shiurim for the purpose of bris milah? Of course that's considered to be aser. If, however, you assume it's an iser derabanan, then you have many possibilities. One could still argue that it's aser, even though it's an iser derabanan, nu mehecha teisi, that one can violate an iser derabanan for the purpose of bris milah. That's what we discussed in the sugya in the Ramban. However, if you assume it's an iser derabanan, riba b'shiurim, perhaps one could argue that then this type of iser derabanan is mutter b'makom bris milah. One is not doing a malacha michadash, one is only engaging in riba b'shiurim. We'll have to discuss, is riba b'shiurim either on a level of daraisa or derabanan exactly comparable to a malacha? Are you chayv chattas for riba b'shiurim if you assume like the Ram that riba b'shiurim is considered to be an issa daraisa? So here the chiddush of the Baal Iter, the chiddush of the Bahag, that we allow for riba b'shiurim. So therefore you see again, the Ram writes riba b'shiurim is an issa daraisa, the Rashba and the Ri assume it's only an issa derabanan, and it must be, the Ram points out, that the Baal Iter and Halachos Gedolos also assume that riba b'shiurim is only an issa derabanan. Good? We'll have to see. We'll see in a few moments. There is perhaps another possibility of understanding that sugya in Erev and Daf Samach Ches, even if you assume that according to the Baal Iter and according to the Bahag, that Riba B'shiurim is in fact in Issa Daraisa. But Poshur Pshat, the Ran assumes that's impossible. If it's Al Yedei Yisrael, and the Gemara suggests B'makom Chola, Riba B'shiurim, it must be that they maintain Riba B'shiurim is only considered to be an Issa Derabanan. If that's true, we had the difficulty. So what about that sugya Menachos Nafsamach Dalet? The Gemara then has a suffix whether you should be marba b'malacha or marba b'shiurin. Marba b'malacha, the Ran writes, isn't that a daraposha that's nisa daraisa? And marba b'shiurim is only nisa darabanan. And the Gemara therefore doesn't know which takes precedence. Obviously, it's better to marba b'shiurim, which is nisa darabanan, as opposed to marba b'malacha, which is nisa daraisa. Maybe one could argue, but not so mistaber, that that exactly is the suffix of the Gemara, whether Riba B'shiurim is daraisa or is derabanan. And perhaps the maskana that the Gemara tells us it is odif to be marba b'shiurin rather than marba b'malacha hi hanosenes, that's because the maskana the Gemara assumes, as the Rashba would argue, that this is only nisa derabanan. Or one could argue, as Rav Shlomo Zalman maintains, that wait a second, who says that marba b'malacha is an issa daraisa? Marba b'malacha, what does that mean? If a marba b'malacha mamish shelo litzorech achola, then one could argue, perhaps that's an issa daraisa. But here, even if a marba b'malacha, what does marba b'malacha mean? Look, if I only had, right, the two grogros, the two figs that I need, and it's one branch and one branch, well, of course I'd be allowed to do, cut one, cut another, two acts of kotzer. In a relative sense, it's marba b'shiurim, because I go out to the tree, and I see that there's one branch that has three, so therefore, of the two options before me, one is more efficient. Now, do one act of kotzer as opposed to two different acts of ktsira. Good? Yeah, but even so, each act of kotzer, the one in the one, is not being done for dvarashus, it's being done litzorech pikuach nefesh. So maybe one could argue, according to the Ram, that also is considered to be only an iser derabanan. Because even if I will cut the one and the one, undoubtedly, both are being done for the purpose of pikuach nefesh. In other words, that's sugin yuman daf pei gimel min aleph that writes that when you have two options before you, and both are viable options, but machino hakala kaltchila, that preference is only a din Derabanan, that is not considered to be a din daraisa. Because even if I will opt for violating the avera hachamura, but still, it's under the guise of pikuach nefesh, and therefore mi daraisa, that is considered to be that which is in fact good. So these are the three sugyas that one has to balance in terms of this issue of ribu b'shiur. We pointed out that whether ribu b'shiur is an issa daraisa and issa derabanan could be a very fundamental issue in terms of the following. A person is doing a single maisa malacha, one act of kotzer, right? But in terms of the chefta shamalacha, its impact, right? That certainly is affected by the shear, right? One act of ktsira that results in being kotzer several different grograms. So the Ran writes the following, that maisa malacha is not indivisible. That maisa malacha relates to each shear independently. And therefore, it is an issa daraisa to do an act of kotzer for two shiurim as opposed to one shiur. Perhaps the Rashba will argue exactly this point, that is not true. If it is all considered to be maisa echad, malacha achas, so therefore, midaraisa, you don't assume that there is any difference at all, whether that single act of kotzer relates to a single grogress or a double grogress. In that case, that is all the same midaraisa. Midrabanan, we don't only look at the asiyas ha-malacha, the maisa malacha, we look at the effect of the malacha, and therefore we will argue that there's an isra of ribu b'shiurim. However, in a level of daraisa, if it's considered to be a single asiya, that is not true. That's the chiddush of the Rashba. Perhaps we'll have to argue that this also, to some extent, is the chiddush of the Ran as well. Even though the Ran maintains that Mar Bishim is Nisa Daraisa, is that really comparable to a separate Maisa Avera? It's as though a person did a separate Malacha? Or would the Ran admit that that certainly is not the case? Even if Ribu Bishurin is forbidden in HaTorah, it is not that there is a separate Maisa Avera on each year. Maybe the Ran would agree to that particular chiddush. We'll have to discuss a fundamental machlokes. Not very clear when you read through all these pieces in the Ran. When the Ran says Mar Bishurin is Nisa Daraisa, is there a chiyuv chatos? There's no chiyuv chatos. I could go ahead and I could accommodate that chola with simply cutting a branch that has two, and I cut the branch that has three grogros. In such a case, the Ran would say it's Nisa Daraisa. Is there a chiyuv chatos? Because I did an additional form of kotzer that was not necessary, the tzorach pikuach nefesh. Or would the Ran admit that in that case there is no chiyuv chatos? Even I who maintain it's an issa daraisa, it's an issa daraisa like chatzi shir is an issa daraisa. However, there is no chiyuv chatos. We pointed out the chiddush that the Minchas Chinuch, right, when he discusses ribu shirim in the very end of the kuntras, the Musaf HaShabbos, there the Minchas Chinuch assumes as davar poshut that even according to the Ran, there's no chiyuv chatos on ribu shirim. It's an issa daraisa, but there is no independent chiyuv. Right? We'll have to see why, in fact, that should be true. Which means that even the Ran would argue it's not as if there's a separate act of kotzer on each shir. There's no separate chiyuv chatos, but rather there is an issa daraisa, despite the fact that it's all considered to be maisecha. Good. So what exactly is the reasoning of the Rashba that maintains that Mara Bishurin is only an Issa Drabanan? So we put forth several possibilities. One possibility is the following, that Maisecha, if it's considered to be one act, one Malacha, so how can you argue that there's an Issa Daraisa based on Ribu Bishurin? And therefore the Rashba writes, if one is Mara B'shiurim, in such a case, as long as one is not Mara B'malacha, in such an instance, that is only considered to be Nisa D'Rabbanan. Maybe one could argue that no, the Shitas HaRashba and the Ran are closer, one would think. After all, we pointed out the following. In order to subscribe to the Shitas HaRan, you have to assume this. Number one, in principle, Ribu Shem is Daraisa. But the Ran will admit that there's a difference between cases of Hutra and cases of Dechuya. If it's Hutra, I admit that if it's not considered to be a Maleches Isra, Maisa Veira, Ribu Shem is in fact Mutter. So maybe one could argue, in principle, the Ran could also envision that cases of Ribu Bishurim are forbidden Midaraisa, but in application, the Rashba would disagree. The Ran's Ha'ara, that one who is marba b'shirim violates an issa d'arais when it comes to pikuach nefesh, because pikuach nefesh is only d'chuyah b'shabbos. Maybe the Rashba would disagree with that point. The Rashba would assume that pikuach nefesh, like ochel nefesh, is hutra. And therefore, just as the Ran admits, when it comes to hutra, there's no isra of ribu shiurim. So therefore, the Rashba says the same thing when it comes to pikuach nefesh. I would agree, if something is asr, laharbos b'shir certainly is considered to be an issa d'araisa. But just as you, the Ran, admit that's not true when it comes to ochel nefesh, I maintain it's true when it comes to pikuach nefesh as well. For example, what would the Rashba hold in the following case? A person does a meleches avera. A person violates one of the melachos of Shabbos. And he does so in excess. Not just one shir, but multiple shirim. Would the Rashba necessarily assume that it makes no difference midaraisa? Once you're carrying, it doesn't matter whether you're carrying one kegrogres or many shirim. Once you're being kotzer be'isser, it makes no difference whether you are doing one shir, whether you're doing multiple shiurim. Maybe one could argue, no, the Rashba would never agree to that. Of course, the Rashba would agree that if malachi is done be'avera, there's a difference daraisa in terms of the shir. The Rashba just maintained the following. When it comes to pikoach nefesh, when it comes to ochon nefesh, that's considered to be heter gomor. That's not called a meleches avera. And therefore, if it is heter gomor, you cannot argue this is ribu shiurim. If, however, you're dealing with a meleches avera, of course ribu shiurim is considered to be aser. But if you'll argue the first approach, that the yesod of the Rashba is if it's considered to be one maisa, maisa echad, melech achas, it's indivisible midaraisa, and therefore the effect of the shir midaraisa is Lomailov Lomori. In such a case, one would argue that the Rashba who writes this in case of Pikoach Nefesh, Ochel Nefesh, Hu Hadinami, maybe that's even true in a greater Kiddush, if a person will violate the Meleches Aveira. No, in such a case, it doesn't matter Midaraisa whether it's one Shir, whether it's considered to be multiple Shiurim. Good. So far in this whole discussion, this is where we had left off, that the Rishonim do not seem to distinguish between the various malachos. Whether you're talking about the sugi and beitz and daf yud zayin, memal isha kirachas basar, or memali nachdom, kiton, shomayim, or whether you're talking about the case, the menachos of samavdalit, talking about kotzer, what is true of kotzer is true of mavashel. And therefore, there's no distinction within the malachos. This was the possibility of dor sameach, Perek Yirches, Halacha Aleph, Hilchos Shabbos, where the Sameach writes, who says that what is true of one malach is true of another malacha? The Sugi in Beis and Daf Yud Zayin is talking about Mavashel. The same is true of that Sugi in Erev and Daf Samaches. Maybe when it comes to Afia or Bishul, then one could argue that Marba Bishurin is Mutim in HaTorah. When it comes, however, to the Sugi Menachos and Daf Samach Dalet of Kotzer, no, in such an instance, maybe Tzira, that certainly is considered to be forbidden midarais if it's done the ribui shiurim. Why would that be true? Or Sameach points out the following. When it comes to ktsira, one is doing the act of kotzer biyadayim. No? So in such a case, there's a marked difference whether I'm kotzer grogros achas or whether it's shtei grogros. When it comes to mavashel, there certainly is something unique about bishul or afia, and that is the malacha is, in a certain sense, nasis me'elav. I am not actively doing the vishal, the afia. What clinches the malacha is something that happens me'elav, b'shev al ta'asen. That's a sign at the beginning of Shabbos we discuss in the Avdalah of Radia Sapas. I put something in the oven, but it doesn't end up cooking. It doesn't end up baking. No, I put something in the oven, and all of a sudden, I remove it. I'm not going to be chayim. There, certainly the chiyuv of bishul rafia is that which is me'elav. You are chayuv for mevash lof is simply for setting up a process which culminates in an act of bishul or an act of afia. Maybe one could argue, if that's true, that if I am not actively, aggressively doing the ma'isa vera, but setting up a process which occurs me'elav, no, so in such a case, maybe then, there's no difference in terms of whether it's one shir, whether it's two shiurim. I'm not doing anything differently when it comes to one grogros or two grogros when it comes to afir bishul. And therefore, look, what is the woman doing? She's putting a pot, right, on the stove, on the oven. So therefore, whether the pot contains a large piece of meat, a small piece of meat, maybe that's irrelevant. But when you're talking about a malacha which is done biyadayim, I'm carrying one shear, carrying two shiurim, of course there's a marked difference between carrying a single shear, carrying two different shiurim. Maybe there's a fundamental difference in terms of these cases. The Rosh Sameach that suggests the possibility of a difference within the various malachos points to what the Rosh Sameach writes as an obvious case that other Acharim question whether that is really so obvious or whether it's not. And that's the case of Shochto, the case of Netilas Neshama. The Rosh Sameach writes the following. When it comes to Netilas Neshama, is there an Isser of Marbe B'Shiurim? Let's assume that Sorech Chola, it's necessary to engage in an act of Shechita. And therefore, I have a choice. I can do Shechita on a small animal or on a large animal. Would you argue that if I choose the large animal, that's an Isser D'Oraisa of Marbe B'Shiurim? Because the animal weighs more, therefore there's an additional Chiyuv of Netilas Neshama. Would that be true? The Rosh Sameach doesn't explain exactly why, but the Rosh Sameach writes, when it comes to Netilas Neshama, certainly that there is no kpeda. There's no halacha that one has to take the smallest animal available and not take a larger animal. The Rosh Sameach brings a raya from the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos and Perek Beis Halachates, where it seems almost explicit that the Rambam writes, if a person is mevashel l'chola, that which is done beheter gamur, and it turns out, let's assume the chola doesn't consume all that food, and there's something which is left over. The Rambam writes that others are not allowed to partake of that food because gzeira shema yarma bishvila. What are we afraid of? If you're going to allow others to partake, you know what's going to happen next Shabbos? Perhaps that need will arise again, and here, a chacham, I will cook more than necessary. What do I have to rely on his leftovers for? I will go ahead and cook in abundance, because since I'm doing so under the guise of pikuach nefesh, in such a case, I'll be marav b'shiurim. So therefore, not only is that aser, but a gzeir of shem yarav b'shvilo, that we don't allow you to utilize that which is done, the tzarech chola. The Rambam himself continues and writes that's not true in a case of shochet l'chola b'shabbos. There's certainly the basar, not the cooked meat, but the besar chai, that is mutter for a bari. Why? Because the Rambam writes, she'ein b'davar tosefes. Because there is no addition, no? Kadesh Nigzar, the Shem Yarav Yishvilo. There's no possibility of Shem Yarav Yishvilo. That's what the Rambam interprets as Sugin Chulin Dav Tezvav Mabeis, where Sameach writes, isn't it explicit according to the Rambam that there's Ribu B'Shim when it comes to Bishul Rafiyah, but no Ribu B'Shim when it comes to the case of Netilas Neshama? So therefore, you see you can distinguish between various malachos. We pointed out that Minchas Chinuch assumes a very great Chiddush, but that's not pshat in the Rambam. The Minchas Chinuch assumes that no, there's an Isser of Ribu B'Shiurim even when it comes to Netilas Neshama. A very great Chiddush. And therefore, La Halacha, a person would be obligated to be Shochet, the Oaf Katan, as opposed to the Behema Katana. No, the Oaf is much smaller, and as opposed to the Behema, if the Chola needs some food, do Shchitas Oaf, right? Rather than a Shchitas Behema, right? And therefore, do shchita of an of katan as opposed to an of gadol, behema katan as opposed to that which is a gadola, because that's considered to be ribu b'shiurim. This is what the Aruch HaShulchan writes as well in Shin Yerches and Sibte Zayin. A very great chiddush. Ribu b'shiurim when it comes to Netilas Neshama. What about this Rambam? In Chassinah Chayit, the Rambam means something else entirely. What exactly are we concerned about this issue of being mosif? Here, Menachas Chinuch writes the following: we're afraid that we'll be mosif la'achar shahagadera al gabe ha'esh. That's what the Menachas Chinuch writes. What are we afraid of? I'm going to be mara b'shiurim. What does mara b'shiurim mean? If it means I'll take a larger piece of meat, okay. But I'm afraid of the following: I'm going to put up what is necessary for the chola. It's cooking, and then I'm going to say, oh, since it's cooking anyway, I'll throw in another piece of meat later for the bari. That Tosefis, of course, is considered to be aser. And that is not relevant when it comes to the case of Shechita. What are you going to do? You're going to slaughter another animal. That's what the Rambam means, that in such a case, Ein Badavar Tosefis. So Sameach writes, wait, if Mara B'Shurin is an iser, and this applies even to the case of Shechita, according to the Rambam, it's Nisa D'Oraisa, why isn't it Gzeira? So here, where the Menachas Chinuch writes, a great, great Chiddush. And that is that even according to the Ran, that Ribu Shurim is forbidden in HaTorah, There's no chiyuv skila, there's no chiyuv kareis, there's no chiyuv chatos, it's an iser, like chatzi shir is considered to be an iser. And there's no gzer unless it's osi lidei chiyuv chatos, osi lidei chiyuv skila. That's the great chiddush that again the Menchus Chinuch does not explain or does not bring any raya to support this view, that even according to the Shita Saran, that marabishun is nisa daraisa, there is no independent chiyuv. In that case, we'll have to see why, in fact, that's true. There's a fascinating ha'ara that you find in Shmir Shabbos Kilchas. So this is found in Perak Lamed Beis in Ha'ara Tzadi, where the Shmir Shabbos Kilchas addresses this issue of Ribui Shum when it comes to Shechita, for example. And here, the Shmir Shabbos points out four different Chiluke Dinim. Points out the following. Number one is this: a malacha shiyesh bahem shir. When you're dealing with ribu v'shiurim, the first question you have to ask yourself: does this malacha have a shir, or are you chayiv b'kol shu? That's the first question you have to ask. If it's a malacha shiyesh bo shir, then you can argue that mar b'bishirin is considered to be asur, because you see the Torah recognizes the unit of bishir. When it comes to mevashel, the shir is a kagrogres. So therefore, one can argue that an additional shir, an additional kagrogres, for that, there's a multiple chiyuv, whether a chiyuv chatos or whether nisa daraisa. So if that's true, if it's a malacha shiyesh bo shir, so then if a mevashel, for example, a tzarech hachole, you can only be mevashel the shir which is necessary. Kamos hadrushalo, that which you need for the chola. Anything more, any additional shir, of course that's relevant. Because the malach is broken down in terms of shiurim. And therefore, if I'm cooking with tzarech hachola, I cannot cook in excess. That's exactly that sugya menachos, hasamach dalet. And this is clear when it comes to mevashel. This is what the Mechaber writes in Shin Yud Ches Beis. This is what the Mishnah Berurah writes in Shin Chav Ches, in Sivkot Mem Dalet. If one is being mevashel l'tzarech hachola, only that which is absolutely necessary. But then the Shmir Shabbos goes on and discusses the following. What happens if it's a malacha she'ein bo shir? There's no shir whatsoever to the malacha. If that's true, is there an iser of ribu b'shirim? It's an interesting split. If the Torah recognizes the shir of kigrogres, then you could argue that there's an iser or your chayiv al kol shir or shir. But if there is no shir, so what exactly does it mean that one is chayiv from marba b'shiurim? So this, the Shmir Shabbos breaks down into three different halachas. Number one is the following. Let's assume you're dealing with a malacha where there is no shir. There is no shir. Netilas neshama will be an example of that. There's a shir for netilas neshama. You're only chayiv for netilas neshama if the behema weighs X and not Y. There's no shir for netilas neshama. So therefore, from principle, one could argue that there's no iser of mar b'bishiyurim. You see that shir is irrelevant. It's very interesting chiddush that the chumra of ein bo shir becomes a kula that there's no iser of mar b'shiyurim. Ein bo shir means the Torah doesn't recognize incremental shiurim. So therefore, you added what? You didn't add that which is of significance. That addition has no chalos. And in such a case, then maybe you're not chayiv. So Shmir Shabbos writes the following chiddush. If it's a malacha she'ein bohem shir, is it ever possible to be chayiv for riba b'shiurim? So Shmir Shabbos writes the following. Yes, you can, if this. Right? Number two. Right, of his four halachos is the following. Let's assume, for example, that the malacha has a multiple effect. Right? Shmir Shabbos calls mischalek yasa malacha lemispar gufim. For example, right, I'll turn on a light switch. Good. So in such a case, it's one act. If I turn on a switch, right, we'll have to discuss what malacha that is. But is there a shir? There's a shir. I'm only chayiv on Shabbos if there are 10 watts or 20 watts or 30 watts of illumination as a result of turning on that switch. So Shmir Shabbos writes, there is no shir at all. However, let's assume, for example, the following. Right, light is needed at tzarech hachol. Good. So I can turn on one light switch. and that will light up a single light, right, which is sufficient. And I'll turn on another switch, and that switch controls many, many different lights. Now, I'll turn on a main switch, now six lights will go on. So in such a case, that's the Chiddush Meshabbos writes, that is called Marba B'Shiurim. You're not going to say that's considered to be Marba B'Malacha, because after all, it's O Ma'ase Echad, but that is Marba B'Shiurim, even though there is no Shir, but Mischalekes HaMalacha L'Mispar Gufim. So therefore, if a person will turn on a switch, and it affects, right, Shtei Nuros, that certainly would be Aser, if all the Chola would need is Nurachas, one light, and the next switch will control a single light. That's what the Shmir Shabbos writes, based on the Mechaber in Shin Chalkes, in Siv Tezayin, that is considered to be a form of Mara B'Shurim, where the effect is increased. Shmir Shabbos writes a further Chiddush. Here he quotes the Hartzvi in Or HaChaim in Simen Kuf Ayin Zayin. Let's assume, for example, right, it's necessary for a Chola to have some light. And the doctor says, I have to be able to assess, to analyze the situation. I need illumination. So let's say they would light a candle, right, in order to provide that necessary illumination. So it's a single act of Havara. Is there a halacha that you have to light the smallest candle possible? I have one candle that will burn for 1 hour, one candle that burns for many hours. So it's one act of Havara, but there's an extended duration. So Shmir Shabbos writes a Chiddush, right? He quotes again the Hartzvi in Kuf Ayin Zayin, that this also is considered to be Mara B'Shiurim. The case of a light switch, it has a multiple effect. It's many acts of whatever it is, right? Getting that light on. Many acts, let's call, of Havara. Here it's a single act of Havara, but the Choma, the doctor, only needs the light for the next 5 minutes. So if I have two candles, one that burns for a half hour, one that burns for hours, you have no right to light the candle that burns for hours because of the extended duration. And therefore, Madlik Ner Gadol, that if there's Einot Sarach El Ner Katan, and obviously you have that option of Ner Katan, in such a case, that's also called Marba B'Shiurim. Right. Right, so we'll have to discuss that. In other words, that Muki Yosef and so on, how that would work as well. But that's the Chiddush that you find of the Shmir Shabbos. Again, here he quotes the Hartzvi. However, Halacha 4, the Chiddush that the Shmir Shabbos writes is the following. If it's a malacha she'ein bo shir, where it is neither two nor three, it's not a case of hamalacha mischalekes, there's no multiple effect, and it's not a case shehamalacha nimsheches, there's no extended duration of time. So in such a case, then mara b'shirim is mutar v'chatchila. That's not called mara b'shirim. Mara b'shirim must either mean that there is a tosefes shir of a malacha she'esh bo shir, or mischalekes hamalacha, or nimsheches hamalacha. Without that, there's no iser mar b'shirim. So, for example, in the case of netilas neshama, that case where you'll shecht the behema gdola, where you could have shechted an ov katan. So in such a case, that's mutar l'chatchila. Right? That's a case where netilas neshama has no shir at all. It's not mischalekes hamalacha, it's not comparable to a multiple effect. There's a multiple effect of shechita. You push a button and two animals are slaughtered. That's a multiple effect of shechita. Here, it's a single act of shechita. Tosefes shir, there's no shir in the malacha of netilas neshama. Malacha nimsheches, there's no extended duration of the shechita. If the animal is larger or smaller, and therefore, that's how the Shmir Shabbos explains this or Sameach, that when it comes to the case of Netilas Neshama, there's no Isra of being Mar B'Shiurim, because Netilas Neshama, there's no Shir. This is what he quotes the name of the Hartzvi as well, and this is what the Shmir Shabbos quotes the name of Rav Shlomo Zalman. Interesting Chiddush. One perhaps could argue, even on a simpler plane, just very simply, that when it comes to Netilas Neshama, maybe one does not have to argue that it's a malacha she'ein bo shir, and this is indicative generally of malachos she'ein bo shir. There are other malachos also, ein bo shir. Maybe this is uniquely true when it comes to netilas neshama, precisely because of the following. The definition of netilas neshama simply is, right, the cessation of life. Right? Netilas rachayim, ibal chay. Cessation of life. The weight of the animal, the weight of the person, that impacts on that effect. It's a greater act of ritzicha if you kill a heavy person as opposed to killing a lighter person. Right, the body light would impact in terms of shochto, in terms of netilas neshama. Maybe it's not the function of a principle of a malacha shein boshir, but it's uniquely true when it comes to netilas neshama. They're similar in the following sense. You'll ask me, why is it that netilas neshama doesn't have a shir? I'll tell you very simply, what do you mean shir? If the definition of malacha is the cessation of life. So it doesn't matter whether you're dealing with, right, a large animal, a small animal, the netilas neshama is one of the same. And maybe that's why when it comes to netilas neshama, one would argue that there is no halacha, riyu b'shiurim, because the shir is irrelevant to the geder hamalacha. But maybe not. That's not always the case when it comes to a malacha, shein bo shir. But that's the chiddush that the Shmir Shabbos suggests. One could distinguish netilas neshama either on the basis of a principle, malacha shein bo shir, there's no riyu b'shiurim, or maybe just simply the uniqueness of netilas neshama, that the geder ha'isser is unaffected by the shir. The isser is netilas neshama, a cessation of life. In fact, if you look at the Minchas Asher and Simen Pei, here the following possibility. We've discussed many times that there are different forms of shiurim, different types of shiurim. Generally speaking, a shir is a quantitative shir. Right? What we call a shir kamuti, a halachin kamus. No? A quantitative shir. A quantitative shir can be comprised of two different shir, and what we discussed in earlier cases. No? One is a shir which is halacha moshe misina, right? Like a grogres, a kazayis, a kabetza. That could even be argued when it comes to a shir hamoil. He pointed out that chiddush the Rambam, no? But sometimes the Rambam writes simply it's a shir hamoel. What's the shir of hotzah? What's the answer in one word? Right? Utility. What's the answer? Halacha l'maisa? A whole list, no? A whole list. Every chafetz could have a different shir, but in lamdas, yeah, shir hamoel. But even the shir hamoel is expressed in terms of a quantitative shir. A kazayis, a kagrogres, more, and so on. Maybe one could argue the following shir. Whenever you're dealing with a quantitative shir, so therefore, excessive quantity, that is an isser of marav b'shiurim. That's called the tosefes malacha. However, when you're dealing with cases where the shir is considered to be one which is a qualitative shir, there is it so clear that one who is marba b'shiurim will violate, right, this isser. If the shir is considered to be that which is a kagrogres, that which is a kazayis, kamos, very mistaber, that tosefes shir is comparable to a tosefes malacha. But if you have something where the shir is in the echus p'ulasan, in such a case, maybe that's not true. So for example, when it comes to the case of kosei, just as an example, what would a case of ribui b'shiurim be? No. What would an example of that be? No, it's obvious that if a person, for whatever reason, has to write two letters, and a person writes three letters, of course that's aser. One could argue that's mamish, a case of a tosefes malacha, not even a straight case of tosefes shir. No? But let's assume, for example, a person writes larger letters. Larger letters. No? A person has to write letzorech olam. Would the halacha dictate that you have to write the smallest letters conceivable? writing a larger letter is considered to be marva b'shiurim? The answer, the Minchas Asher suggests the following: there's no such halacha at all. Let's assume when it comes to tefira, for example, there the shir is shtei tefiros. The shir is expressed in terms of the number of stitches and not the size of the stitches. The number of letters, not the size of the letters. That's because the shir is a qualitative shir. As we discussed, labeling, suras haosios, but not in terms of the size of the chayfetz. If the shir is a qualitative shir, then is there an iser in that sense of ribu b'shiurim? If a person will write larger letters, that's not true. There's no shir in terms of size of letters, but rather in terms of the number of letters. And therefore, there is no such halacha of mar b'shiurim if you can demonstrate that qualitative aspect to the shir itself. The same is very mistabber to assume when it comes to Netilas Neshama. There's no halacha of shir in the malach itself as to the size of the animal regarding Netilas Neshama. Only when you see where the halacha dictates that the size is critical, the volume is critical, the mass is critical, then you can talk about the shir kamos, mar v'shiur nezaser. But in cases of Netilas Neshama where that's irrelevant, the animal does not have to be of a certain size to violate the iser, then the size of the animal is irrelevant when it comes to mar b'shiurim. The letters don't have to be a certain size to be chay mishum kosev, so the size of letters is not called mar b'shiurim. The same is true when it comes to tefira. It makes no difference whether it's a broad stitch or a narrow stitch. The halacha doesn't recognize that as an expression. So Rav Weiss just goes a step further and to suggest the following. How do you know? What's the litmus test? What's the measure as to whether this is a shir kamus, whether this is a shir echos, whether you can argue that michayif ribishim, whether you can't? So he writes the following chiddush. Is there any possibility, let's assume you could isolate the ikar hamalacha from the tosefes. Is there any possibility that the excess could ever culminate in its own chiyuv? That's the test. Could the excess ever culminate in its own chiyuv? Let's assume, for example, at Sarah Chola, I have to cook a kagrogres. And instead, I cook an additional kagrogres. Could that tosefes ever create its own chiyuv? Obviously, yes. If I were to cook a kagrogres, I'm chayiv midaraisa. That's when ribu shurim can be forbidden. Forbidden daraisa, forbidden darabanam, whatever the case is. Where the tosefes could potentially culminate in its own chiyuv. That's ribu shurim. A person is doing an act of ktsira. All I need is 2 kagrogres. I go ahead and I cut 10. The excess, in principle, could become its own chiyuv. Let's assume, for example, an act of kosev. Instead of writing a small letter, you're writing a large letter. If you could isolate, right, that which is vital from that which you'll call ribui, could that ever culminate in a full shir? You're doing a maisa shchita on a small animal, but you did it on a large animal. The tosefes, the extra 50 pounds that the animal weighs, that in isolation could, what, result in its own chiyuv? What, it's as though every pound has its own maisa shchita? There's certainly that can't be done. Tzedah, for example. I catch a small animal as opposed to catching a large animal. That's called mara b'shiurin. The doctors say this person needs an animal. I don't have an animal. I have to engage in an act of tzedah. So I have to catch the smallest animal possible. But if that animal weighs a little bit more, you'll argue that that is an independent shear of tzeda? Certainly not. But when it comes to bishul or kotzer or hotza, a person, the tzarechal, has to carry a pound, and he carries 2 pounds. That additional pound that he is carrying in principle You're just carrying an additional pound that has an akira, has hanacha. That should be an independent chiyuv. That's when one could argue that mar bishum is considered to be that which is asin. Perhaps that's the chiddush. You have to assess the type of shiur. And the barometer in which to measure whether that's true is whether there is any independent expression to the exa shiur. If not, then very simply. So when it comes to netilas neshama, that's exactly the case. There's no independent expression. That's why it's mutter. You don't have to argue it's because the shir is a kolshul. It's a chiddush to assume the chumra of kolshul serves as a kula of marav shiurim. But here, if it's a different type of shir entirely, in such a case, maybe it's considered to be that which is quite different. The further chiddush of the Minchas Chinuch. Again, this is very much against the Minchas Chinuch. Minchas Chinuch writes that when it comes to Netilas Neshama, there's Nisur Vibur Shiurim. No, this I maintain, of course not. Of course that's not true. The further Chiddush of the Minchas Chinuch, that even if you maintain as the Shitas Aran, that Mar Bishur is an Isser Daraisa, however, there's no Chiyuv. It's an Isser, but B'li Chiyuv. And Pasha Pshat, the Rosh Sameach disagrees with that as well. If you look in the Rosh Sameach, there in Perek Yud Ches, the Rosh Sameach assumes that if you hold Mar Bishur is Nisr Daraisa, it means there's a Tosefes Chiyuv. Is there any indication, right, any possible raya to the view of the Minchas Chinuch that Mar Bishur, although it's Nisr Daraisa, it's an Isr Ba'alma, an Ein Bo Chiyuv Chata Skila Kareis? Seir and Minchas Ashri points out the fine possibility. Maybe this is all based on that sugya. In Menachos, Nav Samach Dalid. That chola needs two grogros. And you have two options before you. Cutting one branch that results in three, or cutting a one and a one that results in two. Each one has a mile and a chisaron. Right? I cut the one that has three on Mar Bishurim. But I'm a ma'i b'malacha. I cut the one in the one, I'm marba b'ktzira, but I'm a ma'i b'shir. So which is considered to be better? Marba b'malacha or marba b'shir, and obviously the maskana sagamara is it's better to be marba b'shir than to be marba b'malacha. Is that so obvious if you assume against the Minchas Chinuch? If you assume that according to the Ran, that marba b'shirim, which is asa daraisa, means it's an independent chiyuv chatos, then the maskana sa gemara is striking. No? It's true that in the one, I'm doing an extra act of kotzer. In cutting the one branch that has three grogros, I'm doing one less act of kotzer. Yeah, but if the Minchas Chinuch is wrong, by cutting the one in the three, according to the Ran, that would be an act that potentially would have a triple chiyuv chatos. Two of which, anachinami, is mutter b'makom chole. But that extra grogress is an issa daraisa with a chiyuv chatos. No? The other option is the one in the one, both of which are needed at tzorach chole. If you maintain against the Minchas Chinuch, Pashup Shat Nor Sameach, that each shear is its own chiyuv daraisa, now when you apply the concept of machina akala kal tchila, l'chora, one should argue the one in one is much better than the one which cuts three. Because a tosefes shear is a tosefes malacha. All things being equal, I'll tell you, do less. But are all things equal? If you're telling me that each grogress has its own shear, perhaps that's the raya to the Minchas Chinuch, where the Minchas Chinuch assumes it's obvious that the Ran cannot envision that there's mamash a chiyuv chatos. If there would be a chiyuv chatos, then the one in the one would be much better than the one in the three, because every extra grogress is its own chiyuv. So why does the Gemara assume that the Raposhut, that the Maisechet is better than two acts of Kotzer? Why should that be, though? If, in fact, Mara Bishurin is Nisa Daraisa, why should it be that there's no Chiyuv? So perhaps this is based on what we've discussed in many different contexts. That when it comes to Melachos Shabbos, generally speaking, one always assesses it from two different perspectives. One is the following. Melachos Machshavos, we've always discussed, we require Melacha Chashuv, but what does that mean? Right, a tikkun v'chidush v'chefetz. No, that was the Or Zeruah b'Melacha Geruah. How can you ever be chayav for Hotzah? Right, there's no tikkun achefetz. Say, Nachinami, you wouldn't have been chayav for Hotzah, unless the Pasuk goes out of its way and tells you that you are. Meaning what? That if you want to label something as being Melachos Machshavos, the result has to create some Yetziras Davar Chodesh, some Tikkun HaChefetz, and that becomes the assessment of whether this is a Melacha Chashuv or whether it's not. In terms of Ribui B'Shiurim, that certainly meets that requirement, right, of Tikkun HaChefetz. All I would need for the Chodesh is to cook to be Mesak in a single Kegrogres, and now I cook up a double shear. So therefore, in terms of the effect, the Tosefes, Tikkun, Chefes, that certainly you have. What is it that you lack? So the Melachos Machshavos, in terms of its Totsah, Tikkun, Chefes, there it's very mistaken that Mar Vishun is like Mar B'Melacha. In terms of its result, does it really matter whether I cut one in one? Or I cut a thick branch that has two. The bottom line is through the act of kotzer, now you have made many different peros accessible to achila. In such a case, the totsah is exactly the same. What is it that you're lacking in Mara Bishurim? So we've discussed several times that Rashi and Sanhedrin, no? What were the differences between Molach as opposed to Gzeira? No? When it comes to a Gzeira of Shemiyavo, then you can envision a gzera b'shev al tasa. You can have such a thing, a gzera b'shev al tasa. But you can never have a malacha b'shev al tasa. You can never violate a malacha d'araisa, a malacha d'rabbana b'shev al tasa, sitting back and doing nothing. That's the chiddush of a gzera. Because what you have done is not our issue, it's the shemiyavo. So you can have a gzera of shehiya. You cannot have a malacha b'shev al tasa. That's what Rashi writes in Senator Osama Gimel, that Malacha requires El Sasechul Malacha, requires Asiya. We had pointed out that was Rav Slavechik's issue to that Kasha to Muki Yosef. Who cares whether Eishim Yishim Chitza? If you do something before Shabbos and you sit back, Batol V'Yoshev and B'Shabbos itself, how in the world can you call that El Sasechul Malacha? You can never be Chayim for that which is B'Shev V'Altasa on Shabbos. That's the Chiddush of Gzeros, but not Malachos. So that means Malachos have to meet, right, a dual purpose. On the one hand, in terms of its Totsah, it's Malachos Machshavos, Tikkun HaChefetz, but in terms of the Maisa HaMalacha, Asiya is necessary. What does Ribui Shurim have and what does Ribui Shurim lack in terms of the Tikkun HaChefetz? And of course it has, no? At the end of the day, if I would show you the result, you would not be able to tell me whether this was created al yaday riba b'malach, riba shiurim. The result is the same. I give you a plate of 10 different things. No, many kagrogros. Good. You're clueless in terms of whether I access them with one act of kotzer, two, three, five. You don't know. But in terms of the maisa hamalach, there is a world of difference. No? There was no independent asiya if all you did was riba b'shiurim. Just as we mentioned according to the Rashba, why is the Rashba so sure that Mar B'Shurin is only an Isser D'Rabbanan on Shabbos? Because how can you call Ribui Shurim Asiyas HaMalacha B'Shabbos? The Maisa HaMalacha is identical. The Rashba writes, no, there's no halacha that every shear divisibly is its own Asiya. That's not true. And therefore, Mar B'Shurin, it most will be Nisa D'Rabbanan. So you had mentioned at the beginning of this year, maybe the Ran will have to be Molda B'Miktas. No, that's the Chiddush, the Minchas Chinuch. That the Ran also would admit that Ribui B'Shurim, even if it's Nisa D'Araisa, is not a Malacha D'Araisa. Cannot be a Malacha D'Araisa. because malacha requires independent asiya, and therefore the Menachas Chinuch writes even Aliba Daran that there cannot be, right, an independent chiyuv chatas riba shiurim, and that's why the Gemara has a suffix. What is better, to be marav b'shir, marav b'malacha? If it was a davar pasha that marav b'shir is an independent chiyuv chatas, an independent asiya pidin, so why would the maskanas of the Gemara be that it's better to do the one which results in three as opposed to the one in the one? No, it's because the one in the three is not called an independent asiya at all. An interesting possible chiddush. One further on. In that case, the Shmir Shabbos, that we mentioned in Perek Lamed Beis and Har Tzadi, case number three of the Shmir Shabbos. That another example of Marva Bishurim is Ner Gadol and Ner Katan. That's called Marva Bishurim. If light is necessary, I can light a flame that will last for an hour, and the other, the flame will endure for 3 hours. That's called Marav B'Shiurim. Is that so simple? If you look in Egleital, the Egleital in the Melach of Zareya in Os Tes also assumes this is true. The Egleital doesn't speak about this case, right, head on. But the Egleital discusses the following. It's a fascinating issue that we have yet to discuss. And that is what we call Malacha Lachar Zman. What happens if a person begins a Malacha on Shabbos and the Malacha is not completed until Achar Shabbos? Can a person possibly be Chayyah for that? Can a person not be Chayyah for that? You may have seen already the Rishash and the Mishnah Daf Ayin Gimel. No? Let's say when it comes to Zoreya, no? So Zareya requires, in some shape or form, Hashrasha. No, it has to take root. Or at least it potentially has to take root. If I take a seed and I put it on the table, right, that's not called an act of Zareya. It means you create the possibility of Hashrasha. Do you need actual Hashrasha? What do you mean? Hashrasha is not going to occur on Shabbos. I plant a seed in the ground on Shabbos. It's not going to take root for a couple days, but you're chay mishum zareya. So the Rishash and the Gleital and this piece discuss the fancy scenarios. What happens if a person plants a seed? What happens if all of a sudden now he has charata and he quickly takes it out of the ground? Would he be putter? The Gemara does has this on Daf Dalet, Ridiya Sapas. We just discussed the cases of Bishlam Afia. A person puts something in the oven. The natural process will continue and it will cook or bake. All the person has terrible charata, he pulls it out of the oven, he's not chayiv chatas. Even though the process would have continued, it was preempted. So therefore he's not chayiv chatas. Would you say the same thing applies when it comes to Zoreya? If a person uncovers that seed, either on Shabbos or uncovers that seed after Shabbos, before Hashrasha, in such a case he'd be potter because the Zoreya never culminated in full Zoreya. It's true of Afia. Is it true of Zareya? Maybe one could distinguish. Or a further possibility. When it comes to Zareya, the Hashrosh is La'achar Shabbos. Is that relevant when it comes to Afia? I put something in the oven right before Shabbos is over. And it cooks or it bakes on Motzoi Shabbos. Am I chayyeh for that? In Zareya, one could argue, well, of course you're chayiv, because Zareya never occurs on Shabbos. So obviously, there's no requirement that the Zareya has to occur, the Hashrasha, on Shabbos itself. But maybe one could argue, when you're dealing with a malacha where the effect of the malacha is b'Shabbos, if somehow you lucked out, right, it didn't fully reach Yatzal Edesbo, or Kamacha ben Drusai until Achar Shabbos, in such a case, how can you be chayiv for that? Or maybe they argue that's not true. Setting the process in motion is sufficient in order to be chayiv, even if the malach is clinched on Motzai Shabbos. These are cases the Rishash discusses, and that's the Gleital and Sifkot and Tes. The Gleital suggests, in this context, the following. A person, for example, that's our case, no? Had to light a fire for Pikuach Nefesh. And instead of lighting the Ner Katan, he lit a Ner Gadol. And he writes, and according to Ran, that's forbidden because of Marav B'Shiurim. Is he required immediately, lachar Shabbos, to extinguish that flame? Because the longer it will burn, the greater the chiyuv. If you allow for a malacha la'achar zman, so would that be the halacha? That's the context of this Egleitel. What you see for our purposes of Egleitel is the following. Egleitel assumes that ner kata, ner gadol, like the Shmir Shabbos is assuming, is certainly a case of ribushum, which is usur. Ad kedei kach, that possibility is entertained. That if you're chayav from malacha la'achar zman, look, you lit the ner gadol on Shabbos. What are you going to do now? No, but if there's a possibility of extinguishing, you better hurry up and distinguish in that case. Interesting finish. Some achrom disagree entirely and maintain that ner katan and ner gadol is not considered to be ribushim whatsoever. If you look in the Chelkas Yoav and Simon Yud, Chelkas Yoav writes that when it comes to ner katan and ner gadol, since it's all guf echad, it's one entity. There's no halacha, ribushim. He quotes a fascinating raya, but Pashup Shat is raya is against Rav Rishonim. His raya is the Ritva in Erevin and Asamaches, the case we've been dealing with. That case of the child who needs hot water for the purpose of Rismil, where the Gemara suggests that Achim le Agavime, just simply see if there's a case of pikuach nefesh. If there is, now take advantage of that. Pikuach nefesh coupled with ribui b'shiurim. Coupled with ribui b'shiurim. So what's the difficulty? Wait a second. If ribui b'shiurim is really forbidden midaraisa, how is that allowed? So one possibility was that we're talking about ayde nachri. That's the girsa sarif. Ayde nachri. Good. Ayde nachri. What was the problem? That ranser cannot work according to the Bahag and the Balayitra, the Ritva writes. Because the Bahag and the Balayitra maintain that Amri L'Nachri is mutter b'makom mitzvah, period. So if a Nachri is involved, you don't have to look for Agavime. Amir L'Nachri is mutter even from Alacha D'Arais L'Tzorach Mila. End of discussion. No? So therefore, they must maintain that this Gemara of Achim Le'Agavime is talking about Yisrael. If it's talking about a Yisrael, oh wait, what do you mean? A Yisrael is allowed to do that? Pikuach Nefesh and Riba B'Shiurim? Didn't we just learn that Riba B'Shiurim is forbidden? So what was the answer we suggested? That's the answer of the Ram. You see, according to the Bahag and the Balayter, Chiddush number one, that Mara B'Shiurim is only an Isser, the Rabbanon, right? Because if it was Daraisa, you're stuck. So Ribui Shurim is an Isser Derabanan. Chiddush number one. Chiddush number two, such an Isser Derabanan of Ribui Shurim, one is allowed to violate the Tzarech Milu. That's also Chiddush. You have to assume these two Chiddushim, according to the view of Halachos Gedolos, the Bala Yitter. Each one is a Chiddush. That Ribui Shurim is a Isser Derabanan against the Ran, and that since it's only Isser Derabanan, this type of Isser Derabanan is Mutter B'Makom Mila. We generally assume that's not true. No, we saw that Ramban of Kuf Lamed, Rav Lazar de Mila, and that's not true. You can't violate Hotsa de Rabban Aide Yisrael for the purpose of Bris Mila. The only heter was Aide Nochri. You can violate Yisri de Rabban and Tzarech Mila. So now take a look at that Ritvan Erevin of Samaches. The Ritvan Erevin writes, no. Halachos Gedolos writes, this is all done Aide Yisrael. Everything's Ayyidei Yisrael. Does that mean that the Halachos Gedolos assumes Ribu B'Shurim is an Isser Drabanan? No. This is not the Isser of Ribu B'Shurim. That's what the Ritva writes, the name of the Ra'ah. Why? Because the Ra'ah writes, T'chol Hamayim Havi Guf Echad. Because all of that water is one entity, it's one unit. And if it's Guf Echad, That's not called ribui b'shiurim. In the case of the Gemara ribui b'shiurim, what does that mean? So instead of cutting two figs, three figs. Here you're talking about a single entity, quantity of water. 1 ounce, 2 ounces. The Ra'ah writes this very great Kiddush, that if it's all guf echad, that's not called ribui b'shiurim. That's the Kiddush. It's not called ribui b'shiurim. And that's why the halacha tiklos allows this to take place. Very great Kiddush. The difficulty, of course, is that's against Rov Rishonim. Why do I maintain against Rov Rishonim? Because Rov Rishonim assume that sugya of ayin ches is a rayim uchachas, the samaches. That the Bahag and the Balitzer assume Ribi Rishim is only just the Drabanon. That's the round that we had enough test. Because this definitely is Ribi B'shiurim, despite the fact that it's considered to be that which is Guf Echad. But that's a fasting possibility, the Ritva writes. If something is Guf Echad, that's not called Ribi B'shiurim. Chalkas Yoav writes, therefore, he thinks the Ner Kata Ner Gadol, that's not called Ribi B'shiurim. No, that's like one pot of water. Mashen Kein, a double grogris, that's considered to be Ribi B'shiurim. In the end of that piece, the Minchas Asher in Simen Pei, just writes the following. It's true, the Svar of the Chalkas Yov is very difficult. It's against Rov Rishonim. That Guf Echad is not called Ribi B'shiurim. But even so, this is a great Kiddush. That maybe one could argue Ner Gadol, Ner Katan is not called Mar B'shiurim at all. The water apparently is called Guf Echad. We'll have to see the Sugin Beitza, because the Sugin Daf Yud Zayin has a case of Mamali Nachtom as well. But if you're heating up water for the woman who is in need, and you add a little bit of water, right, for right the Katan, for his Bris Mila, so there are rights that's not called Mar B'shiurim. How can you equate that with two grogros? It's not two grogros at all. Right? That's considered to be right one unit, two grogros. That's called Mar B'shiurim. But here the following possibility. We mentioned even Shmir Shabbos acknowledges that this is an unusual form of Mar B'shiurim. The case where I turn the light switch, there's a multiple effect. Three lights are going on. Here, it's only called Mar B'shiurim because of its extended duration. Isn't that a great Kiddush? That's called Mar B'shiurim? Mehecha Teisim? How do you know that that's true? That's called Mar B'shiurim? Maybe one could argue as follows, just as we discussed, that Melechah Shabbos always have different elements to it. One is in terms of its Tosa, Tikkun HaChefetz. The other is in terms of, no, the Asiyas HaMelacha. We pointed out in Mar B'shiurim, a little tricky in the sense that, in terms of Tosa, I understand, but in terms of, right, the Maisa HaMelacha, there's no additional Maisa HaMelacha. There's no additional Asiyah. I'll cut the branch the very same way, whether the branch is laden with two grogros or three grogros. Doesn't matter. But maybe just one caveat. So how do you get around that difficulty, no? If all malacha requires asiyah, so how is it that Mar B'shiurim is forbidden midaraisa if you'll argue there was no additional asiyah? The answer to the chorobi very simply is the following, that what do you mean? That the asiya, the act of ktsira, right, the act of ktsira only relates to the two grogros that I needed? The act of ktsira doesn't relate to the third grogros that I needed? But the act of ktsira relates equally to what I needed as well as what I did not need. No? The asiya samalacha, the my samalacha relates to the effect in its entirety. And therefore, it's true you didn't do anything additionally, but nonetheless, the act of ktsira does not only relate to the two that were necessary, the act to all three, and that's called Mar B'shiurim. One could argue very simply, b'med dvarim amurim, when is that true? that there is some tosefes b'shas asiya. If Isurei Shabbos require asiya, so when is it that Mar Bishun can be chayiv? When b'shas asiya there is some tosefes. When I cut the branch, I cut an additional grogris. When I carried the chayfetz, I carried an additional shear. The chiddush of the ner gadol ner katan is the following. Here, b'shas asiya, the time of the havara, there is no tosefes at all. If instead, for example, of lighting a small flame, I light a very large flame, then one could argue that b'shas havara, that's considered to be a tosefes. But here the wick is exactly the same size. The flame is exactly the same size. It's an extended duration. Mehechetesi, that an extended duration is considered to be ribu b'shiurim. If b'shas asiya there is no tosefes at all, there's no tosefes mikoach masa. It's just that there is a time factor that it will continue to burn in a longer duration. Maybe that's not considered to be, right, a case of tosefes whatsoever. That's what the Mincha Sashen, the very end of Siman Pei, questions whether ner katan ner gadol is at all, right, a case of ribu b'shiurim. Right, just one caveat, right? The ribu shun must be a ribu b'shas asiya samalacha. Otherwise, you're back to your point that how can you ever be chayiv on Shabbos midaraisa? Whether there's a chatos or whether it's just an isur ba'alma for not doing anything at all. Again, the Shmir Shabbos I had mentioned, those four halachos, right? In step three, the ner katan ner gadol, right? There are no compelling rayas. That's just an assumption that an extended duration is called the ribui b'shir. But again, perhaps one could question whether indeed that is the case. There's one more sugya I wanted to do before we go on to the malachas. That's the sugya of shnayim shasim. Right? This touches on many sugyas that we've discussed. Right? In terms of the definition of asiya, how critical is it that one person do the malacha? What happens if there's a composite? Many individuals engage in a malacha. When are you chayiv? When are you potter? Right, this is the sugya, right? And daf tzadi beis amud beis and daf tzadi gimel amud aleph. So in terms of achana, start going through that particular sugya. The context, of course, is hotzah. Two people carry a chayfetz on Shabbos. Right, what does that mean? And the braisa breaks down to three possibilities. Was it zeyachol, 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 zeyachol? Three different possibilities, each one, right? Kedushim in Tanoim, whether you can be chayiv, whether you're not. It touches on what we discussed earlier, Melachshin Tzrich Lagufa. That's where the Gemara comments that Nisayeya is Ein Bo Mamish. If it's Zeyachol, Zeniachol, then Yachol doesn't do anything at all. And certainly Zeyachol is considered to be chayiv. What exactly is that true? What's the nature of this Ptur of Shnayim Shasu? Is this a function of Melechis Machsheves? Or is this a halacha b'cholot ha-rakulo? Right? And then, right, how it relates to other malachos, and even areas above and beyond Yisrei Shabbos. It's the next sugi that we'll do in Shnayim Shasu. After that, we'll go back and we'll do the malacha of Bonin Sosa.